A slight warm-up in Indiana today. This is Hoosier Ag Today in the Morning Podcast on the 29th of November, 2021. Good morning, I'm Andy Eubank on your Monday, the Hat Podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. They're online at ffbt.com. Coming up in the news, a preview of this week's Indiana Ag Policy Forum put on by Indiana corn and soybean farmers. Also, disease in this year's corn suggests maybe some adjustments to be made in 2022. And quite a day in the markets, ag markets included on Friday. Numbers and Bob Utterback analysis coming on the Hat Podcast.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
What you'll hear at this year's Indiana Ag Policy Forum and lessons learned from 2021. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. The impact to agriculture created by supply chain disruptions, transportation issues, and infrastructure issues will be the topic of conversation Thursday in Fishers at the 2021 Indiana Ag Policy Forum, presented by the Indiana Soybean Alliance and Indiana Corn Growers Association. Mike Steenhook, Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition, will be one of the featured speakers. Steenhook will discuss the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the $1 trillion infrastructure bill passed by Congress earlier this month.
While this particular bill and the funding that it'll provide, it's not going to be this immediate elixir to the challenges that we're facing right now. But I think, the challenges that we are confronted with, it really serves as a motivation and a catalyst to seeing legislation like this get passed.
Steenhook says it will be critical for the bill to address increasing the capacity of the multimodal infrastructure system to handle the volume of freight from the ag industry and the broader economy, but also making sure it is as resilient and redundant as possible. Hear more from Steenhook at the Indiana Ag Policy Forum in Fishers on Thursday. More details and a link to register can be found at HoosierAgToday.com.
Midwest Pork Conference is excited to return to an in-person gathering at a brand new location. Join us December 7th at the Boone County Fairgrounds, Lebanon, Indiana, for a day filled with information you need for your farm. The conference features educational seminars, a huge trade show, and networking with other pig farmers over a delicious lunch catered by Shoup's Country Foods. Registration info at MidwestPorkConference.com. Join us December 7th at the Boone County Fairgrounds for a bigger and better Midwest Pork Conference.
A lesson learned during corn harvest, Andy Eubank explains.
Corn growers may well remember 2021 as a year of awesome opportunities and unforeseen risks. DeKalb Asgro technical agronomist Jason Harmon characterizes the northern Indiana corn crop in that manner, starting with a decent seed bed, followed by favorable weather in June and a phenomenal pollination season. But June was wet, and in August, the rain events turned off.
And we're really dry, and we watched one of our probably highest crop potential ever years slowly dwindle away just due to the fact that we didn't have moisture to help finish mobilizing nutrients to those kernels that we had set back in July. June moisture really led to fusarium and a lot of these other diseases to be able to take hold of this plant. And they really don't show themselves unless this plant runs into adversity. And that adversity came in two things this year. The first one was drought, and then the second one was diseases, especially tar spot.
Harmon believes this year has taught him a lesson about fungicide use next year.
I think we need to start utilizing our fungicides sooner, and we need to start thinking about why we want to use it sooner. This year showed that we got infected in June because of how late, May, we didn't have that extremely fast growth. So we were sitting out there to the environment. Our seed treatments, they only have so long to last because there's only so much to put on that real estate of that seed. So our plants were opened up to be able to get infected, and they did. So let's clean that plant out. Let's do it on a V5 to V8 time frame, because that's a great time to get fusarium out of that plant so that if we run into adversity late, we will not have a lot of that disease pathogen in our plants to really cause a stock rot complex.
Jason Harmon with DeKalb, he says, be prepared to go with a tassel application of fungicide sooner rather than later next year if we have another really wet June. I'm Andy Eubank.
Farm news anytime at HoosierAgToday.com and in our podcast. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
He's the closest thing to a superstar we have in agriculture. Machinery Pete, the nation's foremost expert on farm equipment. He knows where to get the best deals and what the best equipment is for your operation. See Machinery Pete in person December 14th, sponsored by Bain Welker Equipment and Farm Credit Mid-America. Also appearing on December 15th, Ag Tech expert Chad Colby with a special program on drones and a chance for you to win a state-of-the-art drone for your farm. It's all happening at the Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo, presented by Reynolds Farm Equipment, December 14th through 16th in Westfield, Indiana.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to get your seed guide with pricing. Temperatures today a little bit warmer than yesterday. We're seeing some warmer air work its way into the Western Corn Belt, Central Plains, and that's going to be nudging our way. However, in order to get this warm air mass in, I think we actually have to have a minor warm frontal passage overnight tonight into tomorrow. So while we expect sunshine through a large chunk of the day today, I think in northern parts of the country, Wisconsin, Michigan, we're going to be seeing a lot of clouds build late afternoon and evening, and I think we can see some of those spill down into north central and particularly northeastern parts of Indiana. With those clouds, I guess I won't rule out a little bit of light precipitation. Could be a little bit of scattered light rain or wet snow shower action as we move from sunset through the midnight hour. Once we get to 2-3 a.m. tomorrow morning, I think we're done with everything. So just keep an eye out for that. If we see moisture at all, liquid equivalent is going to be a few hundredths to a tenth. That is it. No more than that. And again, everywhere else in the state, not seeing any moisture happen. Your Tuesday tomorrow turns out much warmer. Sunshine, blue sky, and above normal temperatures, and we stay sunny and dry through the rest of the week. A little bit of cloud cover as we move through Wednesday afternoon. Again, system trying to move across Michigan, throwing some clouds down into northern Indiana, but no moisture the way it looks right now. Thursday, Friday, we see a mix of clouds and sunshine with temperatures bouncing back and forth from a few degrees below normal to several degrees above normal. Nothing earth-shattering in the forecast through the weekend. Although Saturday temperatures start to drop, I think we're going to be colder for Saturday and Sunday. No moisture in my forecast until next week, Monday. We draw a line from Fort Wayne to Lafayette. The Hoosier Heartland Corridor goes south of that line. We probably pick up anywhere from a few hundredths to a few tenths of moisture, likely coming as a mix of rain and wet snow. That's just the precursor. Tuesday, we see warmer air come in. Overnight next Tuesday night through Wednesday, a significant cold front. Rain and potentially thunderstorms. It could give us liquid equivalents of anywhere from a half to 1.5 inches across all of the state. So it's going to be a very soggy and very strong frontal passage next Wednesday. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
A comeback for corn on a really rough day in commodities. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, and the review is brought to you by Co-Alliance Cooperative, your local agriculture and energy partner for nearly a century. Very volatile on Friday. Bob Utterback checked in with me in the middle of trade for market analysis. Bob is with Utterback Marketing Services. Bob, this Friday trading session is really a lesson about low volume, high volatility during holiday trade, but also fear in the futures market and how everything can be so tied together.
It is absolutely a case. I was telling some clients earlier in the week, if you got good profits, you might just want to go sidelines. Just be cautious. And I've seen this over the years, day after Thanksgiving and day after Christmas, sometimes are very erratic, very thin trade. And if anything fundamentally hits, it could have pronounced impact. And then what the fundamental that hits the market today is really being magnified is the variant that is occurring in South Africa is now more contagious than the Delta variant of the COVID problem. And already Europe is basically abandoning flights to South Africa, and everybody is afraid that this could be another phase or a lockdown going into the winter. You got Michigan reporting big cases. So I think everybody's getting fearful, and with the supply channel already showing some difficulty of getting product shipped, supplies are going to get even tighter. Price inflation is going to increase. But on the demand side, especially in the meats, we won't have people buying, meat will buy it or one can get it. So it's everybody's taking a time out today, and I think maybe a little exaggerated. Well, I think the true test will be Monday or Tuesday of next week. Is there any follow through to this? But, you know, it's not surprising, but the bin doors are shut, and we should be moving higher. So it is kind of a counter-cyclical trading activity. You would think we'd be up to more upside, but this market's been upside down for most of the year. So I guess this is more than normal. Hopefully next 22 we'll start getting back in the groove. But if the COVID situation continues to intensify, I think that's going to be a dominant force on the market next week.
With the sell-off in corn, soybeans, and wheat, do you have any concern in one of those versus the others?
Well, I think the big key is we watch crude oil. And crude oil now has come off its high, mid-80 highs, now is in the low high 60s. If crude oil can't stabilize and start to move higher, that's been the heart and soul of the bull market for corn and to secondary for beans. But also we have to watch wheat. If wheat starts to reverse and crude oil converses, that's going to have some really big drag on the corn and beans. So I'm watching the crude oil, I'm watching wheat, and I'm watching gold for my cue and my fundamental indicators of how much strength we'll see in corn and beans next week.
Yeah, gold really the only bright spot on the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and that's because everybody's still worried about inflation. And you watch the bond market, too, because you got a lot of moving from the equity. The stock market was off hard, and you got moving money moving the stock market to the bonds now. So there's a lot of money moving around right now, and people are trying to get into a physically more conservative position. I think that's where as we move into last part of this year and first part of next year, I think fiscal conservatism will be the name of the game.
Another market that has sort of weathered this day after Thanksgiving storm would be the cattle market, up and obviously not very much. So there does seem to be an impact. Also, the hog market seems to have a fighting chance for a higher move.
I think you used the proper word was fighting. You know, I think if you get the next summer hog markets into that high 90s, low 100s, I think you got to start laying off risk. I think you get cattle too much above 145, 150. You got to start laying off risk because if the variant would increase and they start having restrictions and you basically close down the economy again, you're going to have that negative impact on the cattle market and hog market, which will then reciprocate into feed usage in the corn and beans. So there are some really big decisions that are going to be made on trend here in the next couple of weeks. I think we'll have a lot of influence for the first half of 22. So be forewarned. It's not going to be quiet.
Bob Utterback there, 800-832-1488. That's the number at Utterback Marketing Services. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, a partial day of trade, but very volatile in commodities and equities. And the ag markets, in some cases, survived. Corn, a big turnaround. December goes to 586 and three quarters, up 7 points, a 20-cent turnaround off the low. 6 and a quarter up on the March contract, 591 and three quarters. Beans came off the low as well, but still down 13 and three quarters on January, 1252 and three quarters. March contract, 1263 off 14 and a quarter. December wheat, 825 and a half, 11 and a quarter lower, a dime down on the March at 840 and a quarter. And livestock was mixed, pretty flat overall throughout the day in the cattle market. December goes to 138.10, up 20 cents. But some steep losses by the end in the lean hog market. December 73.20, down 2.22. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm radio network.